Hi, I'm Dustin Atwood with A1 Custom Car Care. I'm trying to hang out with you guys at least once a week when I get some free time. I am cutting this video a few days early, and you guys should see it typically on Mondays. I'm trying to release videos out to you guys each Monday, try and keep consistent with it. Your guys' feedback has been phenomenal, and I greatly appreciate the interaction, if you will, whether I see you at the shop, whether you message me here through the comment section. I do my level best to kind of keep up on it, respond, and take it to heart, to be honest. I love what I do for a living. I think this is probably our maybe fifth or sixth podcast we're going to put out here. So I get a little bit of time to hang out in my office. And I'm going to actually, the discussion we're going to have today and probably next week comes from the comment section. So one of them, this is a dear friend of the channel at this point in time. I greatly love the interaction here, and we work on your vehicles as well. Really clean new vehicle you got. I saw it here at the shop this last week. Congratulations, by the way. But the comment says, first off, the clock's got to go. And so I took the clock down, and this is all in good fun. A good buddy of mine that I worked with for over 10 years, knew him probably 15, 20 years, got me that on-air light. I'm actually going to put it out in the hallway here at our shop so people know what I'm kind of doing the podcast. But he goes on, so we pulled the clock down, so hopefully you guys don't get just droned to death by me talking. Two questions, and I'm going to read both of them, and I think we're going to talk about one of them today, and we'll split the other one up because they're both kind of in-depth discussions. Question one is, in this day and age of the shade tree mechanic, is that a thing of the past? I noticed that engineers aren't really just engineering with the need of accessibility or attention anymore. They are more likely making engine packs or pack together configurations, meaning like to replace the water pump, for example, you have to remove the battery, the engine cowling, the AC compressor. Are engineers these days, new engineers, thinking of the shops, or is this the great ASE conspiracy theory, which I think is great, by the way, and I ad-libbed a little bit in there, but you get the gist of it. The second one is, do you or should a shop overbill, meaning if the job is supposed to take 3 hours, but it takes 6 hours due to unforeseen circumstances, or just slow technicians, are the customers usually billed for the longer times? I think those are both great questions. And that's really what this podcast has been about, what our radio show has been about. I'm actually going to go to the second question in this one, and I'll answer the first question next week. So the time and how things bill. Now, this is kind of a dangerous discussion, if you will, but I feel like we can have it, and I can do a good job kind of articulating it in my experience. The automotive field is an interesting field. Now, it's been done by flat rate forever, and flat rate is basically a book or a catalog that says this job should take 3 hours. So exactly like what the question's asking, that's a great example. So there are times that we deviate from it called non-routine tasks, and I want to talk about that a little bit. But all of that is discussed with the customer to the best of our ability up front. So non-routine tasks. If somebody has been in there and butchered something before, rounded off bolts, broken off bolts, assembled things incorrectly, etc., that is not part of the labor guide that we are basically charging accordingly. And so we do our very best, and that's where why we're really adamant about our checkout, testing, and evaluation time, as well as our digital vehicle inspection. So if you're a customer at A1 Custom Car Care, we don't do it on every single service, but I'm going to say probably anywhere from 60 to 80% services, there will be a digital evaluation, and it allows me to get a snapshot in time of your vehicle and the conditions of what it is we're working on right then and it stays with that invoice for hopefully ever. You know, now that we're in the cloud based, I can save all that data for years and years and years, sometimes even owner and owner and owner. So with that being said, that's why a lot of shops are not able to quote over the phone anymore or quote without doing at least some initial basic evaluation. A lot of my vehicles that we deal with at any of our locations are anywhere from 8 to 10 years old on out to 30 years old, give or take. So we're not dealing with a lot of new vehicles. And as a side fact, those labor guides are configured off of a brand new production vehicle. So as it rolls out, they get a group of techs, I assume. Never done this. If anybody out there would allow me to do this, I'd love to do it. But they change whatever part when the vehicle's brand new. All the fasteners move. Nobody else has been in there butchering things up. Nothing's rusted, corroded, broken off, etc. No aftermarket. Now, that's something that gets my blood boiling up there. These aftermarket add-ons typically are done very poorly, and that typically isn't figured out before we get in there and somebody's done some crazy light bar, some Dixie horn, some air horn. What are some of the other ones? Oh, remote starts under dashes. If I've got to pull a dash and you got some spider web of unfactory wiring under there, I eat that time. I don't bill any extra. If I knew up front, I probably would, but inevitably I never find out until I've got the dash starting to come out and there's just extra wires in there that I'm having to work around. No, we eat a lot of time. You would think that the flat rate system would benefit the shop a lot more than it does the customer. In my experience, and I've been doing this professionally for over, I got to be getting close to 25 years now. Have I made time on a job? Yeah, I have beat book time. But more often than not, I'd say better than 50% of the time, I'm going to probably meet or be a little bit over on book time just because I don't have time to do it twice. There are techs that I've worked with that really can crank out and be very efficient. With little or no comebacks. And a comeback basically is where I have worked on it, something didn't go well, and I ended up with it back. So in the early years, I was really interested in speed. And I did good work back then, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be here 25 years later if I didn't do good work even then. And I don't know if maybe I've been tempered as I'm older, but I take a lot more pride in what I do. Not that I didn't when I was younger, but I understand it, or the gravity of it makes more sense to me. And so I want to do it as fast and efficiently as possible, but I want to enjoy what I'm doing while I'm there. And maybe I'm making this about me and I'm not answering the question very well, but I'll try and talk about it in a broad scheme in a minute. But I find that you are surrounded by your like peers. So if I become a drug addict, probably the people around me now are either going to become drug addicts with me, or they're going to leave me and all my new people will be drug addicts. And I'm not doing that. I'm just being a little bit flamboyant, if you will, with that. The fact that I've been devoted to my trade or my career for so long, it has allowed me to be surrounded by a lot of like-minded people. So even though I am talking about how I perceive this question, a lot of my folks are going to perceive it exactly the same way because we share in that passion or commitment to the automotive industry and in turn your ability to drive dependable with your vehicles for year after year, decade after decade, 100,000 after 100,000 miles. So I really don't view it like I used to where I was really worried about the time. I want to do a complete evaluation of the car to the best of my ability. Now, if it's rusted, there will be allowances put on or in the invoice or the estimate before, to the best of our ability, before there's any surprises at the end. I will go to the ends of the stinking earth to meet a amount, honestly, out of my own pocket over the years to meet the agreed dollar amount, because I know how many people have had bad or terrible experiences. And, you know, it's not, I don't have a crystal ball. I do have a magic eight ball, but that's not going to help me. That's just a little tongue in cheek here in my office. That's not going to help me to have a confrontational discussion with you at the end of it. I'm not looking to just service your vehicle one time and make you mad at me over a few hundred bucks either way. I would much rather eat that few hundred bucks and service your vehicle for the next, I've probably got 20 years left in me, I hope, than to get at odds with you. Now, if it's seen during the repair, like if I'm disassembling something and I haven't gotten very far and I come onto a bolt and I can feel it, that there is a very high likelihood that I'm going to break this dude off if we continue. There's going to be a phone call made, whether it's me or one of the advisors. We're going to document it on our digital inspection. That's a fairly common one. And I'm going to say, hey, here's where we're at. We started. You've authorized this. We're going to deal with some non-routine tasks, that this bolt is stripped out, this bolt is seized in there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that will accrue its own cost. That's not, I didn't break it. I didn't seize it in there. I didn't strip it out. That is going to be a discussion we're going to have, and we're both going to have some skin in that game. There will be some additional charge, but I'm going to do everything I can to mitigate that as much as possible, because any mechanic, technician, whatever it is you ever want to call yourself, we don't like dealing with stripped out bolts. We don't like dealing with seized bolts. We don't like dealing with aftermarket, poorly installed kits. We don't like dealing with rust and corrosion. Can we do all those things 150%? But that's not part of the book time that we're talking about right here. Now, let's talk about it in an hourly basis as well. I have and am a product of an apprenticeship. I've had several young men that are not so young anymore who have gone through similar things that I have. And a lot of them have stayed with me. Some of them have gone on to do different things in different parts of the country. But a lot of them stay in contact with me. And they message or text or whatever it is, cool things they're doing then. And about every year, a couple of times a year maybe, I'll have a tech that I worked with over the years, you know, message me. It's like, man, thank you so much for showing me some of these skills that now that they're, you know, in a different part in their life or maybe working at a different place, pardon me, they're able to do things that, you know, they learned from being a part of what's going on here at A1 Custom. And even though they're not here, or if they are here, obviously, that makes me super happy that there are some good fundamentals going out there in the world. And God knows the automotive field needs it as much as every other field out there, equipment operators, etc. We do that at an hourly rate, and typically that is part of doing business as an automotive shop in raising young men or young women if they choose to be in this field. That's part of our investment or our give back to the industry. And that does not get passed on to the customer. Typically, they make an hourly rate, and they have a mentor or one of our master certified technicians. I think I'm one of, I don't know, probably almost a dozen master certified technicians within our, you know, A1 Custom Car Care. I believe I was either the first or one of the firsts, and I was grown from A1 Custom Car Care's investment in me. So I started with this company with no ASEs. I did have a 2-year trade school in Monett, Missouri. And then they started investing in me and training me. And so I started getting my ASEs. And within 3 to 5 years of when I started here, forgive me, it's been a lot of years now, I had my master certification. And so once that started happening, we started to go from an undercar shop where we basically did custom exhaust or, you know, stock exhaust. We would build or fabricate pretty much everything other than either a muffler, flex pipe, or catalytic converter. Those were pieces we installed. We would do brakes and ball joints and undercar stuff. We didn't do tires, and we really were just getting into even changing oil back then. Now, A1 Custom is a full-service automotive repair facility. We, at this point in time, don't do, like, auto body work, window tinting, but if it's a mechanical-related issue, a lot of drivability, a lot of electrical, a lot of heavy line repair, engines, transmission, brakes, ball joints, alignments, ADOS, autonomous driver assist system, calibrations, tires. So if it's mechanical, we typically are going to be able to take care of you. Now, that time is invested from the shop with a master technician looking over the shoulder of their apprentice. And so we have some folks even in this facility that have some experience, but I spent some time this morning, hey, this is what I see, and you know, forgive me, I'm always looking up because typically the car's on the lift. Hey, this is what I see, this is what I recommended, what should I have done, or what would you have done differently? So we have those discussions, we articulate that to the service advisor, they do a great job communicating with our customers, we push out the digital inspection, which has photos and a little bit of history of what the condition of the total vehicle is, so you can be a part of the repair. So that time does not get passed on. The majority of the extra stuff very seldom gets passed on to the customer, partially because this industry has such a terrible stigma about it that people don't quite know whether they're getting what they're paying for, I guess, for a lack of a better way to say it. And so we want to do the videos. That's really why I started this YouTube channel. You guys are seeing what I'm doing on my personal time because I love the industry and I'm trying to share that information out here in the internet. I'm doing all this every day through our shops, and I think I'll start, you know, doing some more videos at our shop level. I kind of just started this because I felt like the industry needed to have another voice, if you will, of what a high-level professional technician would or should be doing to give you those answers. One of the things that just drives me crazy, and I see it all around town, you know, these big box parts stores have this, you know, scan, blah, 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 or we'll tell you what's wrong with your car. I really wish it was that easy. The code pulling or code scan, It gets you in the ballpark of the system that's having a problem. It does not say you need a O2 sensor. And I don't know if this will come up here. This is a tongue-in-cheek deal. I had this made a few years ago, and I don't know. I think it's kind of faulty at this point. But long story short, when you go to the big box parts store, they're guessing. And that's really what this magic eight ball is. Oh, there it is. It is coming up a little bit. But this magic eight ball, it's about as accurate as those parts stores are out there. They're in the business of selling parts, and I don't have any here, I don't think. They give you this huge list of parts that could be what's going on, and so they want to sell you all those parts. That's how they make money, and I don't begrudge them by making money on selling parts. God knows I actually need parts stores, right? What absolutely just grinds my gears, if you will, is the amount of inferior aftermarket parts that are put on cars that they didn't need because of some dang trouble code that didn't mount to a hill of beans. Now, I know I'm birdwalking all around the question here, but you guys have hung out with me for almost 20 minutes now. I feel like I need to be better than that in order to build value of what a real technician or real diagnostician does. So if it was super easy, I'd have a little $60 or $20 code scanner like they use, and that'd be great. I know I'd have a lot less gray hair, a lot less stress lines as I get older, but that's just not how it is. That system doesn't work. Even some of these dongles, which that's the piece that's what the piece is called that plugs into your OBD2 connector, is a dongle. Even the dongles that are Bluetooth and talk to the mothership, they'll be right once in a while. But how much is your money actually worth to you? Because your money is an exchange for your time, at least most people. You go to work for X amount or whatever, you make this amount of money, and You know, you trade that money for these car parts, you damn well better need them, for lack of a better sugarcoating there. I don't enjoy putting parts on cars that they don't need. I love fixing cars. That's one of the coolest things about this business. And I'm sure there's other industries out there, you know, construction, you may drive by a building and be like, dude, I was on the crew. We built that building. I built this retaining wall. I plumbed that place. I wired it. I put the sign out front. I built, you know, a bridge. I don't know. Whatever it is you do, I hope you get as much of a charge out of it as I do when I fix a broken car. I don't get a charge out of just replacing parts. It's very lucrative, to be honest. The parts stores or shops that just install whatever and just throw it on there, honestly, they make more money than I do, I guarantee you. I have no interest in that. I love fixing cars. And so to birdwalk all the way back around to our question, the industry has a pretty negative rap, and there's a lot of mechanics that I have had customers come from other shops or other experiences, and I can see it. They got these walls built up because they think that, you know, intentionally or unintentionally, they're going to get taken advantage of. Have I been wrong over the years and put a part on a car that it didn't need? 100%. I'm going to tell you, pretty much every time I paid for that out of my pocket, the company didn't even pay for that. I may have left it on the car, but I didn't have the customer pay for that. Now, has there been times where I had a car go out that I felt comfortable that it was fixed, it came back, and I missed the ball? Yeah, typically I eat that too. If it has a unrelated issue, we're going to have that talk up front and say, hey, look, I did these tests. This is what told me. This system is working. We still got a problem here. We're going to have a discussion whether that's related or unrelated. So more often than not, to save the industry, I'm just going to eat that time, or I'm going to eat those parts. I can tell you I've had my butt chewed over the years for eating time and parts by myriad of management. And unless you do this every day of the week, I don't know how else to do it and do it correctly. I just can't go home and feel okay and lay my head down and sleep at night not doing it that way. I've got a long-term friend of mine who runs one of our shops, and he got to see me at the very, very early inception of me trying to figure this life out as an auto mechanic, and I was making nothing back then. You know, typically you don't get in and get hired on at the top level. You got to earn your way up there, which makes it worth it, in my opinion. But some of those lessons, they cost you. And I remember multiple times where I would have a part sent over, I'd have it on a cash ticket, and I would pay for it. I'd put it on the car would be fixed, and we'd go on about our day. And I was making probably minimum wage, maybe. And I was paying almost my entire paycheck in tool accounts and tool bills. We can have another discussion about that at a different time. We do get these flyers from time to time, and I think it'd be cool to do a show or a podcast on, you know, how much some of this stuff costs. And even 20 years later, I'm still spending money on the tool trucks and online to make sure that I am equipped to the teeth to make sure that when I come to you and I say, hey, you need to replace this part, it's X amount of dollars. I've done everything I can on my end, training, equipment, and effort-wise, to get you the answer so you can make the best decision. I just got off the phone call with a gentleman, somebody I haven't really done a lot of business with, and he's got a catastrophic engine-related failure. And even the used engines right now, as of 2025, I'm not a big used engine installation shop. We do occasionally, depending on the circumstance. We do more remanufactured because I can offer you a much longer and better warranty. And that's really what I'm in business doing. And he was asking for some services that, am I capable to do? Yes. Am I willing to do? No. And for instance, we went through the DIAG process. We did a good in-depth dive. We documented what was going on. We had a mechanical failure inside the engine. We had an issue in the lower end, and we had an issue with the valve train as well. a couple hundred thousand miles. Not really a situation that I was willing to do a valve train job and risk trying to get this thing put back together. It could work, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm here that when I ask you to fix your car, that it does work. And if it doesn't, I'm going to stand behind it and make it work. Okay. So in this instance, essentially, I was like, hey, these are your options. He wanted to kind of go a different route. And I respect that. I'm not pushing anybody to do anything that they don't want to do. But I'm also not going to take your money and invest my time in doing a repair that I have proven is not going to have a good outcome. And I detailed it in there. And that's totally fine. I believe he is going to do an engine with it. So we're going to have those discussions. But I wasn't willing to pull the heads and have the heads redone and put them on a damaged or a rotating assembly, which would be pistons, rods, crank, cylinder walls. I had a leakage issue there into the crankcase. So the cylinder head job wasn't going to take care of 100% of his issue. That's a waste of time and money. I got plenty of folks out there that are looking for good automotive repair. Some of you are traveling a pretty good distance to see one of our shops, and I greatly understand the time and financial commitment that it costs. So I'm not going to Hail Mary a prayer or come to you and say, hey, this is going to work unless I can back it up. And when I say I, you can, again, we're surrounded by our peers. So whether it is at our Springfield locations, we have two, one on Ford and Sunshine, one on Sunset out in Republic. And then I've got a couple of shops that I work with down in the Northwest Arkansas area. But most of you all are customers here in the Missouri market. So I guess long story short, took me 20 minutes, 26 minutes, 27 minutes to answer who pays for that extra time. Typically, it's the shop. And I'm not going to say that it doesn't go the other way from time to time. But almost all of our techs are about 70% efficient. Now they're here 40 hours a week. That means that we produce about 70% or we bill out about 70% of their time. And the rest of it's not them on coffee breaks, I assure you. It's us being thorough with what we have going on with your automotive repair needs. There's a lot of times that a single initial checkout or testing fee takes several hours. Now, typically, very seldom are you ever billed several hours for that initial diagnostic or testing fee. The times that I do push into several hours are certain situations, intermittent issues. If it's been at other shops and other hands have been in there working things, we'll have discussion up front, say, hey, you've taken it to three other shops. They haven't been able to get to the bottom of it. We're definitely not going to nail this at our level one checkout time. We're going to go to level two. There will be a few hours in there. If you've tried to work on it yourself and it's partially disassembled, I may turn the job away altogether. Depending on the situation, I have discretion of whether we're going to do that or not. But partially disassembled does not mean it saves you money because, excuse me, part of the job's already done. Makes my life a ton more difficult because I didn't take that puzzle apart. And most of the people that bring me those basket case pieces don't bring me all the pieces. I am billing you for that time. That has made my job much more difficult, and we have to charge accordingly. I didn't get us in this situation, but if I accept it, I will get us out of this situation. If another shop has been in there and they have, you know, done things and created more issues, we'll have that talk up front. Intermittence, I talked about that. It only does it the second Sunday when the, you know, wind is blowing out of the east and it's sunny outside. If I've got to spend a ton of time recreating this issue so I can capture what's going on, there will be some additional time. All of this is talked about up front. So with that being said, there are certain systems that I will charge some more time. CAN network diagnostic, that we have a communication problem within the car, you're not going to nail those in an hour 99.9% of the time. Those are going to be additional hours trying to get to the bottom of what's taking the network down, or who's communicating and corrupting the network communication. So it depends on how intricate we're getting through that, or how in-depth or complicated the system is I'm working on. Those are rarities, and all of that will be authorized up front by you as the customer. If you get a phone call from us, it will be a situation that we are not going to perform any work that you didn't authorize up front to the best of our ability. There may be a small item here or there. We will do our best to communicate that up front, but it really comes down to communication, in my opinion. And as far as eating the extra time, because it's not worth the headache and heartache of a customer that doesn't trust me, I'm going to say 9.9 out of 10 times we're going to eat that time. If it's training a new technician, that's investment of me and the company to bring on the next generation, because we need good automotive mechanics, technicians, whatever you want to call us, in the automotive field, because the majority of the folks that have been doing the high level jobs have been in the baby boomer generation. I have a few of them left now, and I have done my level best to absorb as much of their life experience and training that you can't learn in a textbook, to make sure that I have the ability to pass it on to the Gen X, Gen Z, probably the millennials, that I possibly can, because this industry needs it bad. I would argue all industries and all skilled trades need this thing that I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the automotive field today. So huge thank you to this friend of the channel and customer, client, whatever you want to call yourselves, family, if you will. I greatly appreciate all of you that choose A1 Custom to let us make sure that your vehicle is dependable. I love the fact that you will converse with me and let me know, hey, what you like, what you don't like. That's totally cool too. And I love the fact that you put some questions out there for me to talk about today. So I know we talked about billing. I know that may have been a mouthful. I hope maybe that made a little bit of sense. Sometimes it's just not that easy here in the Bay. And I try and very much do what I tell folks I'm going to do to the best of my ability. So that kind of answers the billing question, I believe. The previous question was about engineering. I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually getting in contact with some automotive engineers that I believe I may be able to get more in depth of what they've got going on their side of the world. That's going to be what we're going to talk about next week. So if you've got things you want to talk about or hear us talk about here on the channel, if you've got automotive needs here in Springfield or Republic, Missouri, A1 Custom, we can take care of it. My name's Dustin Atwood. Thanks for hanging out with me. We're about 35 minutes in now, give or take a little bit. I don't take that lightly that you guys share that time. As well, before I sign off here, I run into a gentleman that was a big fan of the radio show. And I was out at our Republic shop. He's got a really cool truck that I absolutely remember just about every time it's in. I was dropping it off after hours. I happened to be there with one of my managers talking to him out front. Really enjoyed hanging out with you for a little while. He's got a Power Stroke that's a kind of a rare one, to be honest. And as anybody knows, I'm a big Ford guy. So I love talking to you guys when I see you guys at the shop or, you know, out at a ball game or whatever it is. Thank you guys for tuning in, hanging out with me, commenting, and giving me some good feedback. And I'll see you in one of the service bays. Or we'll chat here on the YouTube.